she's a bear girl.
I'm telling you, he says what I'm thinking.
That Rob Bar's libertarian, that Jefferson libertarian, you know I'm not messed in libertarians. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and take back like the White House.
Welcome back to another podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday and good morning. Good morning. It's Friday. It's almost the weekend, and it's the best time because the weekend we go out and party. We go out and do a lot of good stuff. I'm glad you guys are listening to another podcast for recap of this week and all the crazy emotional train that we all have been on that we call politics. But before we start, you got to give a shout out to our sponsors over there at Recuro.org. Recuro.org is a liberty-leaning website that you should go to. We're trying to fight the duopoly. We're trying to break it up. We're trying to stop that crap. Give you guys a little bit more options, a little bit more than just the left and the right, more of an individual things to look at. And it's important. So check Recuro out. It's important. Have a really good story for you guys this week. I went down to North Carolina this week to help out some libertarian friends on some campaigning and help one of my buddies do a speech, and it was fantastic. Went down there in North Carolina and had a good time in District 31 and helped our buddy Eric out, and he did a fantastic speech, and we had a fun time. You know, we went out and we ate. We had some good old North Carolina food, and we had some good old libertarian fun. You know how that works. You know how we do when we go out and do libertarian events, and what we do after libertarian events. We always have a lot of fun. But my sister lives in the area. She lives kind of like 30 minutes away from Durham, North Carolina, in Raleigh. And me and my buddy decides to go and, you know, go see them. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're over there hanging out. We're drinking, you know, doing what we got to do, and having a good time. And next thing you know, we go out to the parking lot. My friend's car is being towed. It's being towed, and we're watching it. We're watching it leave the parking lot and trying to run down the street to catch this pirate. This pirate who's taken our car. And we sit there in the parking lot, and mind you, it's not in the greatest neighborhood, right? You got a party going on at the hotel across the street. We're hearing tasers going off. We got two guys sitting at the steps of this apartment complex that look like they're probably really messed up. Like, I'm talking about, like, really, 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 really messed up. So we're in this really crappy situation, and we're looking around, and we're like, man, what do we do? But luckily, my brother-in-law decides to take us down to the tow shop. And the tow shop, we get there, and these people are rude. They're terrible. And you're talking about pirates. I mean, seriously, you talk about people being pirates. My buddy was like, you guys are a bunch of pirates. He was pissed. He was mad. He was doing me a favor by going to see my family. And it ends up with him paying $175. Now, he paid an extra price because the dispatcher apparently wasn't there, and it was just some other lady who really didn't know everything and didn't know what she was doing. So he pays extra money to get his car out at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's just pissed. I thought about bringing that up because it's just, we had such a fun time there, down there with those libertarians and helping Eric out with his campaign. And, It was just a crazy night, and I thought, man, that's kind of funny because, you know, it was just nuts. But we have a lot to talk about today, actually, guys. We have so many things going on that I thought would be pretty good to talk about. But let's go ahead and get in some stuff. Let's go ahead and do this. So if you guys don't know, the devil may be coming to a town near you. Yes, that's right. Bill and Hillary Clinton announced Monday that they are doing a 13-stop live event tour that is being billed as a chance for ticket holders to glean insights of the former first couple. Wow. Thanks. This is great. This can't get any better. The tour is called, which is being called, An Evening with the Clintons. You know, I don't know if anybody else have had a evening with the Clintons, but either most of them either ended up dead or raped or, you know, whatever. And so this little promotion by Live Nation, it's a prestigious live event that will fill massive arenas all around North America, and people paying $70 to $288 to hear from the former president and secretary of state. Now, listen, all my liberal friends, not really liberal, but all my progressive friends that listen to my show, and I appreciate you guys. But listen, this is ridiculous. If you're going to go pay $70, let alone $288, to go watch these two talk about things they've already spoken about, you already know their positions, you already know what they're going to say. They're not going to give you insight. They're not going to say what happened to the emails. They're not going to say, why have you killed all these suspicious people that gave off information about you? Why are they dead all of a sudden? You know, none of that's going to be answered. It's going to be the general, well, you know, Trump is bad, and when it comes to the presidential election in 2020, you guys got to get out and vote. And if we don't get out and vote, it's going to be just terrible. And people are going to cry. And it's stupid. I can't believe that someone is going to actually pay to go see these two on stage, take your money away, and you get nothing from it. I get it, if they were kind of like inspirational, or you know, if they were actually giving out some knowledge, but they're not. I almost guarantee that they're not. Every single speech they have done since Hillary Clinton lost has been nothing about just a literal Trump, anti-Trump bandwagon. You know, it's like anti-Trump band going on tour or something. That's all it's been. And people are I saw a whole bunch of people in my Facebook feed and Twitter feed getting excited for this tour. So you guys enjoy that. Enjoy your tour. But at least, which I'll give it to her, she's doing it after the midterm elections. So I'm okay with that. She's giving it after midterm elections. Then, you know, good. Good, Hillary, because I would have been more upset if she would have, you know, just said, "Hey, we're gonna do it now. Next month or so, we're gonna do this 13 show trip, and cover the midterm elections and why everyone's mad." Now I think that would have helped the blue wave a little bit. It would have helped it just a little bit. It got some people, because I mean, if they're willing to pay $70 or $288, then I'm sure they're willing to go out and vote. But I've been proven wrong before. This week, yesterday, actually, on Thursday, Kanye West, you guys already knew that I was going to talk about this. Kanye West decided to go take a trip to the White House and talk to President Trump. And this is great because I got a lot of good clips for it. And I'm going to play this clip for you guys just to hear just a little snippet of what Kanye is throwing down.
One of the moves that I love that liberals tried to do, the liberal would try to control a black person through the concept of racism because they know that we are very proud, emotional people. So when I said I like Trump to like someone that's liberal, they'll say, "Oh, but he's racist. You think racism can control me? Oh, that don't stop me. That's an invisible wall."
You think racism can control me? That's an invisible wall. Don't you guys know? Racism is an invisible wall. You know, this whole interview, if you guys haven't checked it out, the interview, I'll put it in my show notes. But you guys gotta go check it out. It's hilarious. Now, I don't agree with Kanye completely. Kanye he's Kanye, for God's sake. He's a great musician. He's done a lot of awesome things. He's done a lot of publicity stunts. He's done just a crap load of stuff. The guy, I wouldn't say he's like some kind of mastermind, but I will say, when it comes to publicity, when it comes to stuff like that, the man knows what he's doing. But he did have some truth throughout this conversation with Trump. You know, even though he talks about the 13th Amendment and all that stuff, I think he's kind of wrong on that part. But the man goes in and says what he wants to say to Trump, and I agree with at least 30% of what he has to say. You know, it's his own opinion. But since he's black, the world just dropped bombs on him. Before this interview, when people found out that Kanye was doing this whole dinner with Trump on Thursday, CNN and some of its panelists, with Mr. Don Lennon, whatever his freaking name is, that crap reporter, they had a couple really, really bad things to say about my boy Kanye.
Kanye West is what happens when Negroes don't read. And we have this now, and now Donald Trump is going to use it and pervert it, and he's going to have somebody who can stand with him and take pictures.
And he's an attention whore like the president. He's all of a sudden now the model spokesperson. He's the token Negro of the Trump administration. This is ridiculous. And no one should be taking Kanye West seriously. He's clearly has issues. He's already been hospitalized.
My God, he is the token Negro of the Trump administration. Now, this is what pisses me off. This is what makes me upset about this. While I agree that Kanye's probably not the greatest person to listen to, but yet he still has his own opinions, which is perfectly fine. Kanye can have his own opinions. But what pisses me off the most is this crap about token Negro reference. This token Negro reference just makes me so angry because people these days, especially those other black folks, right? And this is the message to all the black folks, you know, black folks who's been voting for Democrats for years, who's been voting for Democrats, who's been voting for the same progressive policies that have not helped them, that has burdened them when it comes to business, has crapped their neighborhoods, had their neighborhoods taken over by gentrification, by other businesses, and basically put on the ticket for a minority vote. They're just a minority vote. They're not even important. Democrats don't care. You think they really care? Seriously. I'm not saying Republicans care either. But when a black person has a different view than a progressive view that they think we should have, we're automatically labeled as token. We're automatically labeled as Uncle Tom. We have all these silly labels that they try to take away our blackness, which I don't get that. Defining black as just one group, one thing. If this is black, it's bullcrap. It's the individual. And that's where black folks go wrong when it comes to politics, especially those who deals with the left all the time, especially those who are constantly parading the left as if they are the saviors of the black community. They're not. They're not. The left nor the right cares. And if you guys think they do, you're wrong. What you should be caring about as a black person is being an individual and stop being thrown into groups and placed into a category that makes it seem like as if you and all the other black people down the street are the same. What can we honestly say to those people who want our vote? That we want our individuality. We want to be labeled as individuals. My lifestyle is different than another black person's lifestyle and vice versa on down the road. It's completely different. And with them blasting Kanye like this, you know, he can't have a different opinion because now he's token Negro. The Trump's token Negro. That's just ridiculous. When are we going to be able to sit down and say, listen, I don't care about being in a group. I'm an individual. I'm not someone who wants to be labeled as just a left black voter or a right black voter because both parties, Democrats and Republicans, they just want my vote. They just want to shut me up. They want to plaster my blackness on TV and say, oh, look at the poor black man. He's so in trouble. He needs our help. Look at him and get my vote. And then they're going to leave me in my neighborhood, which is shitty because the crime sucks, which is being taken over because people are buying businesses and people in black businesses don't necessarily have the income or the means to get their own businesses up and running and keeps getting destroyed by taxes, especially in progressive cities. This is just a continuation day after year after century, freaking forever, where the left and the right both uses black people just to get their agenda done, and we are stuck in the back. We're still in the back of the bus. So what's good? Being an individual, not voting for the two idiotic parties who's going to use our vote and do nothing for us, taking everything in our own hands and doing it ourselves, taking the government and saying, we don't need you to hold our hand, government, daddy government, we can do it ourselves. Make everything equal, make everything as fair as you possibly can when writing the rules, and let us take the reins. I'm sorry, as a black man, I don't need your help or your pity. Next thing we got, guys, the government still thinks it's important and thinks that you are too dumb. Tennessee State of Tennessee requires residents to obtain a permit for outdoor burning beginning October 15th. So yes, all my Tennessee family and friends know that after October 15th, if you are burning a fire within 500 feet of a forest, grassland, or woodland, it must be law secured by a burning permit of the Division of Forestry through all the way to May 15th of 2019. Now, this is funny. This is, the government thinks we're too dumb to know not to set the woods on fire. Now, I know we've had trouble. We've had trouble in the past here in Tennessee, like in the Gatlinburg area, up in that area, and we had trouble in the past with that. But those, you know, most of those were on purpose. But if someone's out in their backyard and they want to do a campfire and they want to go do their thing, do you really think they want to set, is that like the night they're like, oh my God, I got to set these woods on fire. Shit. I'm going to start a burning pit right next to a tree that's right next to a forest and say, fuck it. Just going to burn it all up. it's so silly. And this is the kind of stuff that that bothers me. Why do we need a permit to burn something on our own property? Why? It's ridiculous. And it says the permits from the division, it says they're free, right? Okay, they're free, guys. Listen, it's okay. It's all okay burning fire in your backyard without a permit. You can get a permit for free. So what are you complaining about? What, Alex, what can you complain about when it comes to you getting a free permit from the government to burn fire in your own backyard? Well, it's simple. I should be able to do what the fuck I want. Excuse my language. It's my property. Simple as that. I'm not dumb enough to say, hey, I'm just going to burn everything down. It's not going to happen. I'm going to make a fire and have some beers and we're going to sit down and relax. It's a freaking fire pit. That's what we do. And I got to get a permit for it. Another thing, the government thinks you're too dumb because a man down in Florida named Alan Turner, 26 years old, he was making grills for customers in his own home. But his business came to a screeching halt when he was visited by the Leesburg police office officers and investigated from the State Department, who informed him that what he was doing, making grills, mind you know, grills, like Lil Jon, you know, all the other good rappers and every other white boy that tries to be a rapper. Yeah, making grills is illegal. He can't do that. Florida's definition of dentistry practice includes taking an impression of a human's tooth, teeth, or jaws directly or indirectly and by any means or method. And so the molds Turner made to create his grills were unlicensed dentistry. He was fined up to $1,000 and ordered to stop. So someone better go get Tyrone down in third period because he needs to stop making those grills. Man, he can't keep stealing folding paper for his mom and making those grills. Okay, Tyrone needs to stop. He's about to get fined. He's about to go to jail. Because this is stupid. This is stupid. Who? What? I can get it. I get it if he was, like, you know, putting braces on a kid. Or if he was, you know, fixing a root canal or pulling out a tooth. All right, I get that. That's probably a little bit dangerous, and we probably should let licensed professionals do that. But the man's making a grill. he's making some bling for his teeth, and you want to charge him $1,000. And by the way, it's not over, because he's supposed to appear in court on October 22nd from the felony charge. It's because it's a felony charge now. Remember, I forgot to tell you guys that it's a felony charge. Turner faces up to 5 years in prison and another $5,000 fine. And ignorance of the law may be no excuse, as it goes saying. But guys, come on. You made a grill in your house. You're making some chump change. You try to pay your bills, try to go out and have fun. But it ends up with you possibly getting 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. Now, I don't know what they're going to do. Who knows what they're going to do? Hopefully they have a smart judge sitting up there and realizing, like, you know, It's a freaking grill. It's a freaking grill. We're not gonna send you to prison for a grill. We're gonna lower the charges down from a felony to a misdemeanor and fine you and maybe do some community service. Even all that though, saying all that, a misdemeanor and a lower fine, all that is still stupid. All that is still ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's nothing better than government, man. I gotta tell you. They come up with, they work on the most important issues of our time. I have to tell you, the most important issues. You can't. It's simply unbelievable. It's unbelievable, but it's here. Earlier this week, Senator Rand Paul on Tuesday said lawmakers should tamper down on their political rhetoric. Now, I wanted to talk about this because I agree with the senator here on some key issues, on a lot of key issues, especially with this, because the political climate that we are in has been heavily toiling down, getting people, someone, a politician, or maybe even possibly somebody else who is different than anybody else, who may have a different view. Seems to me, at least, that they are being, or they have a chance of being hurt. They have a chance of getting killed. And Senator Rand Paul is completely right. He was doing an interview on a Kentucky radio station, and he said he was concerned that there was going to be an assassination after the few tense weeks around the Capitol because of the Supreme Court fight. He continued to say that, "I really worry that someone is going to be killed, and that those who are ratcheting up the conversation, they have to realize that they have to bear some responsibility if this elevates to violence." And he's completely right. You know, this past week we had somebody's truck. Somebody had had some Trump stickers on the back of their car, and the truck caught on fire. Actually read this week, somebody had a still had a Hillary Clinton sign in their yard. Who still has a Hillary Clinton sign in their yard? And their windows were smashed. Now, obviously, that could be two different things. It could be some kind of ex-wife mad at the dude, or, you know, some crazy shit happening. You know, I was a kid before. I used to throw rocks at windows and shit. But, you know, it is getting crazy. It's getting more than crazy. You know, we even had the gunman who shot up the congressman and the whip, majority whipped last year. You know, all that stuff happened. I forgot what his name. Steve Skelly, I think his name is. I think he's from Louisiana. I can't remember. But the majority house whip getting shot. You guys remember that. But, you know, this is something that is happening a whole lot. And you have a whole bunch of people, especially on the left. Now, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. I will say that some of Trump's rhetoric is destructive. Some of Trump's rhetoric does give some Republican or some really stupid conservative, the ability or the moral high ground to do something silly like attack somebody, you know. But the left also has been doing as well. Cory Booker, you know, what's her freaking name? The crazy black witch lady, Maxine Waters. I can't stand that lady. You know, people like them, you know, even they have been saying crazy comments that's going to give the left a reason or the moral high ground to attack folks. And this is silly. You know, it's politics. You know, this is people's life. This is people, how people want to live in their society. So it is life or death in a sense, but in another way, we should be better than that. We should be smarter than that. I shouldn't have to go burn down your truck because I disagree with you, or I have to go, you know, get a beat your ass with a bat or something. You know, those are things I shouldn't have to do or would want to do in a political climate. I would want my ideas to be voted on by my society and go from there, versus beating my fellow Americans and everybody else here to death over because they won't listen to me or because they won't agree with me. You know, everyone's mad at Rand. Someone, and I was looking on Twitter and I was looking on Facebook, and a lot of the leftists are just mad at Rand. They're like, "Oh, what about Trump?" Yes, we agree. Some of Trump's rhetoric is terrible. We all agree. That's not an issue. And even some conservatives who sit around the block and say, "Well, you know, Trump didn't mean that way." No, it doesn't matter if he meant it or not. The fact is, it's dangerous. And just like the left, some of the stuff you guys say, even if you don't mean it to be violent, sometimes it turns that way. And sometimes your followers and people, they tend to do those violent things and hurt others. And that's something that we all have to be aware. And as Americans trying to make the country the best that it can be, it's better to discuss than use violence, because we become no better than people in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and all these other crazy ass countries, you know, even Venezuela and places like that, that uses authoritarian ways to make people to change the political climate. Why? That's not who we're about. That's not who we are as Americans. We debate, We get people to vote for it, and we move on, and we keep fighting every day. Even if we don't like the policy, we keep fighting every single day. And Rand is right, and his wife is right when she was talking about that she sleeps with a gun in her house. Her own husband got attacked in her front yard. So yeah, hell yes, she sleeps with a gun in her house. Sleeps with a gun under her bed. Absolutely. I would too. It's dangerous. And we all need to be able to sit around and say, hey, we're not going to do this. We're going to debate. We're going to disagree. But we're not going to hurt each other. We're not going to burn each other's property. Because that's just stupid. Just plain out stupid. When we get back from the break, we got more to get into. Some crazy stuff happening in New York that Republicans and everybody else is going nuts about. And some news about the Tennessee Senate election. Very interesting stuff came out this week after the debates. Very interesting stuff. Stay tuned. I'll see you guys after the break. Hey there, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of another podcast brought to you by the Recuro Initiative, challenging the groupthink of the duopoly. Come check out Recuro.org, bringing you liberty-minded content from articles to podcasts all the way to videos. And you can even submit your very own. Come check us out at Recuro.org. That's Recuro.org. Welcome back, everyone, to another podcast. I'm glad you guys are in for the second half. We got a lot of good, we still got some good stories going on, guys. I love doing this. I love doing the Friday shows. I'm glad that now we've got some funding in and we've gotten some things taken care of here in home. And doing these shows every Friday, it's going to be sweet. It's going to be sweet. I love doing the recaps of the week and talking about everything. But nonetheless, let's get into what we have left. And you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh about this. This is great. This is fantastic. And Republicans and conservative alike, they're going to cringe because they already cringed already. So in New York City, you no longer have to assign it a gender at birth. Thanks to a new bill signed into law on Wednesday morning, the New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said that basically you get to put an X on your new birth certificates. Oh, yeah. That's right, folks. It's no longer just male and female in New York City. It's now male, female, and X. Yes, the third gender option. So this X makes, you know, babies genderless. And this is going to become a new trend. Now, my personal view, my personal view, I'll go ahead and put it out there. People are going to hate it. I think there's only male and female. Yes. In fact, I believe that there is only male and female. You can either grow up with feministic views when you're male or when you're female. Or you can grow up with, you know, freaking, you know, male views or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all societal in my view, personally. But I don't care if there's an X on your birth certificate. I could care less if you are, you know, of the non-genderless crap. I don't care. It's not, if that's what you want to put in your birth certificate, go right ahead. But conservatives and others are up in arms. They're marching and they're doing a whole bunch of crap. They're not marching. They were protesting, but they're not marching. But there's a lot of people and legislators that are furious about this because it allows this new X, this new, I'm not going to call it a gender, but this new choice, right? And of course, they're conservatives mainly. You know, Democrats and progressives, they don't care. They're like, all right, forget it. And libertarians and other people who are just like, we got more important stuff to worry about. We don't care, right? We don't care. If you want to put an X on your child's birth certificate, not give them a gender when they're born, forget it. Do it. Cool, bro. Let's go out to eat. Let's celebrate. You have a kid. I don't give a crap what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's funny because conservatives are all up in arms. So this is not it. This cannot happen. There's no way. And yes, it's happening. Get over it. I understand Republicans don't like having a third options. You know, they seem to be every single time we turn our head. It seems to be they only like to have two options in a situation. Okay, yes, there can be a third option. And yes, people have the right to do it if they want to do that with their baby. Now, once their baby turns 18 or get of age or whatever it is, and they want to change it to male or female, let them do it. They're an individual. I don't care less. But putting an X on your birth certificate is not a big deal. And it's only in New York City. It's not like it's all, it's not like it's national. And I'm sure if it was national, if it was like a federal mandate or some sort, people, conservatives mainly on the right, would be up in arms and just giving out how putting an X on a piece of paper and not gendering your child is going to affect them. You know, dude, I don't care. I just don't care. And I had to let you guys know about this story because it's just one of those things that conservatives love to get just crazy about. They love to just, you know, blow their face up and just like hit themselves against the wall. Like, there's only two genders. Yes, I agree with you. So why do you want them to put an X on it? Because it's just a freaking letter. Like, I don't care. When they grow up, when that child grows up and becomes an adult, they can choose whatever they want to be. I mean, people do that anyway. People call themselves Zays and whatever and whatnot. You know, I call them that out of respect. Do I have to agree with them that it's some kind of gender? No. But if that's what they want to be called and they're not being an asshole to me, then yeah, sure. I'll call them Zay. I'll call them Z or X or non-gender binary, whatever the crap they want to say, whatever the crap they want me to call them. As long as they're not being assholes, I won't be an asshole back. I'm cool. Let's go live our lives. Come on. Come on, if you're on the right and you're listening to this and you're conservative or you're very conservative and you're pissed off by what I'm saying about this story, listen, man, get over yourself, all right? Life's not about you and Jesus, all right? Get over yourself and move on. More news in the shitty state of California. The nanny state strikes again, ladies and gentlemen. Just as before, we can't get better laws. They can't focus on the greatest things because lawmakers in California just passed a bill enforcing, right? Enforcing that kids I can't even get it out. That's why it's so funny. They're enforcing that kids mandatory on menus that kids either get a choice between unflavored milk and water and other beverages like Coke, orange juice, you know, whatever, lemonade will not be on the list but can be asked for. And if any other drink other than unflavored milk and water are on the list, you can be fined up to $500. Yes. It says the first violation shall result in a notice of violation. A second violation within a five-year period from the notice of the violation should be punishable by a fine of not more than $250 for a third or subsequent violation with a five-year period, the fine shall be not more than $500. So this is if you do not. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. What is going on? This is supposed to be helping our kids. This is supposed to stop our kids from being fat. You know, this is supposed to stop our kids from, you know, gaining, enjoying the nice sugary taste of a soda or the nice sugary taste of a lemonade or whatever else. This is supposed to help our kids. This is what the California government is worrying about. What they're trying to do is trying to figure out who can we get money from. This is what this is about. They want to know who can they get money from. How can we make a stupid law that sounds like we're helping our kids, it sounds like we're helping somebody, but actually we just want to make a couple bucks? Because you got to know they're coming. Food inspectors are coming. They're looking at the menu, and as soon as they see that lovely orange juice, oh, you got a Coke on your menu, where's the unflavored milk, where's the water? As soon as they see that, they're going to get you and they're going to pop you at a $250 and they're going to keep coming back until they get the $500. And next thing you know, they're going to amend the bill to put you in jail for 3 days for making our kids fat. Now, listen, when it comes to obesity and comes to eating healthy and stuff like that for our children, I think it's definitely up to the parents. I think it's the parents' responsibility completely. A kid doesn't know better. I'm a kid. I smell chicken tenders and fries, and give me that soda, multiple sodas to wash it down. I don't give a crap. I'm a kid. So yes, it's up to the parents to decide whether or not this kid should have more soda, should have more food. And most kids that I know, it's most little kids anyway, they barely eat their food. Especially some kids in my family, you know, they eat like two or three bites and they're done and they run away. But this is ridiculous. Make a law, making a law about kids. Making a law about kids and trying to stop them from eating as much while the attention is terrible and the implementation is terrible. Maybe they should think about, you know, maybe just leaving it to the parents. Can we not, are we not adults? Are adults just so stupid that the government has to hold our hand and tell us what to do? That's what it's about now. And I feel like this whole episode is about government holding our hands because this is just stupid. All right, I'm done. I'm done complaining about it. Guys, take care of your kids. Take care of your kids, okay? You can take care of your kids on your own. You don't need the government to tell you how to take care of your kids. I guarantee you. There's plenty of great parents out there. You guys got it. Even in a state like California, progressives, you know, all the progressives there, I'm sure they can take care of their kids. You know, and they may not be the best, you know, the best thing politically, but they can take care of their kids. Next thing and last thing of the show, guys, something that is affecting my home state. And something that I wanted to really, really discuss. So this week, if you guys don't know, Marsha Blackburn and the old governor Bredesen, I forgot what Phil Bredesen. I don't know why I forgot his name. Yeah, you know when you're doing research and you get all these names, sometimes I just get them confused. But Phil Bredesen and Marsha Blackburn going at it for the Senate seat here in Tennessee, and It's getting pretty heated, you know. I feel like this race has become almost like a miniature Trump and Hillary kind of thing. Just, you know, different role reversals. You know, Bredesen's Hillary and Trump is Marsha Blackburn. Everyone hates Marsha, but everyone's probably going to vote for her. All that jazz. It's becoming in the race is close. The race is close. I'm talking like 46.8 to like 46.2, and that was a couple days ago. That's from a CBS poll. And the race is catching, not really catching up, actually. It's kind of sliding for Mr. Phil Bredesen. But I wanted to talk about it because it's important to be involved in politics, state, federal, and all that crap. And it sucks when you have a candidate who you know is a bullshitter. Now, Marsha Blackburn, we all know Marsha Blackburn is crap. We know she is crap. We know that she has, you know, basically nothing to stand upon. She sucks. She sucks. She sucks. She sucks. She's just a normal Republican. She just wants the votes and get in office and stay in the Senate for the rest of her lovely life. That's all she wants to do. And she's just terrible, guys. I mean, there's nothing that I can tell you. You know, how she votes on everything, how she acts, how she portrays her voters and how she portrays her base. You know, when she did the whole Trump video about standing up for the flag and all that crap, like Marsha Blackburn is literally a demon standing in front of you and people still love this lady. They still love this lady. She's terrible. And Phil Bredesen is no better. Phil Bredesen is not the greatest thing. He's not. I mean, listen. If I in the race between the two, I would totally vote for Phil over Blackburn. I totally agree with that. Phil will be way better than Marsha, but Phil is shitty too. And because of Project Veritas, they showed us even more how shitty he can be. So if you're not living in Tennessee and you haven't seen the commercials or even on the web, Phil Bredesen came out earlier last week when they were doing the confirmation for Kavanaugh, for the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh, and basically Phil came out and said, yes, if I was in the Senate now, I would vote for him. I would vote to confirm him. And lovely projects like Project Veritas and other things like that, these people are awesome. They go inside political campaigns, and they go talk to the staffers and try to talk to them, you know, because if you guys have never worked for a campaign or anything like that, you realize that there are two sides, right? There's the inside, you know, this is what we talk about when we're on the campaign trail. And then there's the side they give to the public. And it's two-faced. It's really two-faced. And they clearly see this. And what I'm about to show you from their video, which you can find on Facebook, look them up. These people are awesome. They have done many other great things and other videos like this. They get into it, and it's freaking fantastic. But this in particular is about Phil Bredesen and his campaign, and it has a whole bunch of people that I know, actually. There are several people that I've worked with when I was on the dark side, on the progressive side, that I know, that I legitimately know and talked to and texted already about this. and they had a couple things. So I'm going to play you a couple bits, and we'll go over it. Let's hop into it.
Like, you would not go to the hospital.
No, it's okay. And I mean, I don't know what to say about it, because we were in the middle of training and we had sent people out to knock, and then they came back and they were like, we just saw the statement, like, what are we supposed to do?
So what do you mean it's a political statement? What does that even mean?
He thinks that, like, we're down like half a point right now. He's like really close, and I think we're losing by a point or two. So he thinks that by saying this, he's appealing to more moderate Republicans and will get more of them to vote for us.
So he's really just saying yes to get the Republican vote.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what you just heard was a staffer, one of the staffers that I know pretty well, and I talked to her about it. I'm sure she's upset. I'm sure she's not too happy with what's going on and getting kind of caught on tape like this. But anyway, so what's going on is basically these campaign organizers is saying that Phil Bredesen has said that he would vote for Kavanaugh, but it's just a political statement. He's trying to appeal to moderate Republicans. And obviously, you know, I really think the Tennessee voters, the actual people who go out and vote, I'm sure that they already knew that this is just some bullcrap. Well, you know, you're talking about a Democrat voting for something that's highly, highly contested, right? That was a big issue on Capitol Hill. And, you know, and he would have been a new senator. And voting against the party, bullcrap. But it's funny because Republicans and Democrats do this too. So don't leave conservatives out of this just because it's a Democrat getting caught or a Democrat's team getting caught. Conservatives do this as well to appeal to Democratic voters. They both do this, but it's just really, really slimy. And it's weird how everyone in the building, especially his team, they just know it. They're just like, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. We have another part in this video where they're talking about the Tennessee voters, which a lot of you guys that are watching this are in Tennessee, so I hope you guys enjoy the team's opinion about you guys. Check it out.
Is it because of, like, the voters?
Yeah, that's it.
So he'll lose voters if he says yes?
Oh, straight up. Yeah.
Are the people of Tennessee that ignorant?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They really think that the Tennessee voters are that ignorant. You know, that's coming from an organizer in the Phil Bredesen campaign. You're talking about the guy who is helping running the campaign, the guy who is writing these articles, these guys who are writing these op-eds and videos and creating all this content that says, you know, we want to promote the people. We want to make sure that they're the best. And we believe in Tennesseans because Tennesseans are the best. But they're calling you a dumbass behind your back. They're saying you're too dumb. They're calling Republicans dumb. They're calling everyone dumb, these voters. And this is, it's not shocking, but it's funny when it really comes out, when you really see the face of the campaigns, when you really see what's happening, when you really see it. And it's just ridiculous. I got one more.
I'd like to think in my little heart that he's not a super fan of Trump, but...
Get it?
We don't say that out of these walls, but here, of course, we talk about that. Because it's so funny, the messaging is like, don't talk about Blue Wave, we're not running against Trump, all this sort of stuff, even though that's all why we're all here.
Right.
We can't.
I mean,
I can't
I can't help but think that Phil's the same way, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he hates Trump. Like, yeah.
Like, campaign-wide, it's not a message. We can say it in here, but like, to, on those calls and stuff, that's not the message we want to be sending, because we're not running. It plays into the whole.
People who would vote for Bill Bredesen without the protection of money.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's a lot of people who are Republicans who are going to vote for him. But
so if they know that he's like, I don't want to say not that he's like aligned with Chuck Schumer, but that if he like was in like cahoots.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they would be like no go.
Yeah, and that's their whole messaging against us.
Because what I say is, like, look, Phil is clearly not in this for personal reasons. He's probably going to be a one-term senator. And to that point, what you just said, like, he could do that. Because, I mean, I don't think he'd go that hard. But, like,
I mean,
he's not
going
to be running for re-election. He can get in there and do the right thing.
It's your aunt. 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do the right thing.
And he'll be a good Democrat. I know he will.
100%.
Yeah.
Always has been.
Between you and me, once Phil actually gets into the Senate, he'll be a good Democrat. But, yeah.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. This is great stuff. This is really great stuff. And this is showing what Democrats in Tennessee are doing and what Democrats around the United States are doing. Yes, everyone knows that Democrats are fighting against Trump. Every single body knows that's how it is. And on the Republican side, everybody is with Trump because Trump has brought so much attention, young attention too, to the Republican Party. So everyone is either A, on Trump's side, or B, against Trump. And they're using this. They're using Trump's name to get votes. They're using this, and they're saying this to the insiders. They're saying this to people who are donating large sums of money to them. They're using this as a tool instead of appreciating and worrying and trying to fight for the people that they want their votes from. This is a popularity contest, and this is what sucks about politics today. You have so many people. Who want to be involved in politics, who has a great heart and a great message, and who truly wants to help their people in their state. There's so many candidates, but instead of those candidates being given a chance, they are shunned out by this popularity contest. They are shunned out because they aren't on the Trump train. They aren't on the anti-Trump train. They're not on the Republican crap or the Democrat crap. You know, they're just not on it. So they get shunned out. And then the people are the ones who lose. The voters, the people who they're trying to fight for, are the ones who lose. When we have people and puppets like Marsha Blackburn and Phil Bredesen, for God's sake, we have people who are just doing a popularity contest, they're not there to fight for the people, they're there for the fame and themselves, we lose. The individual lose. And, you know, and even speaking on the progressive side, your more government control loses. You know, I know that's what most progressive wants. They want government to hold their hands. You're not going to get that with them. You're not going to get that with your champion that you're choosing for popularity. And same thing for Republicans. You want to conserve your government. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that. These people are puppets. These people are just another vote, another person who got fame for becoming a senator and gets a paycheck for the rest of their lives. That's it. I mean, they're already rich enough. And that's it. And it's sad. It's sad to see these things happen. And it's sad to see that, you know, the people that are helping these folks, these organizers, these everyday folks who live right beside us and go to same stores and whatnot, they also are on that train of just the popularity. They're also on that train of not caring for the people. And it's sad, and it pisses me off. And that's why I'm involved with the Libertarian Party. That's why I'm involved with helping the individual, you know, helping candidates who actually cares about the people that they want to get their votes from, their constituents. Like, it's ridiculous, you know, and this is why the duopoly sucks. This is why red versus blue sucks, because they don't care anymore. They don't care. They spend just as much money, whether it's red or blue. They put out policies that's controlled by the government, red or blue. They destroy your lives and tell you they're going to fix it, red or blue. What about gold? How about gold? How about we let third parties? How about green? You know, how about the purple? How about we get other parties involved that actually care about the candidates who've been hurt by the duopoly for so long and realize that they're not doing anything? Why not vote third party? Why not get third party more involved? Because if we don't, we're going to see more two-faced crap like this. We're going to see more two-faced campaign writers and journalists and analysts telling us lies to our face, giggling in the back and behind us when we leave the voting polls, and they take our votes, and we never see any help from them ever again, or let alone have them come visit our cities and our towns and help us when we need them. And this is what politics is today. This is what we have today in this political arena, in this political climate. And maybe one day we'll be able to not be this way anymore. Maybe one day we'll be able to get more parties on the ballot, more options on the ballot, and leave the duopoly behind. Because we can see now, and as you can see just from this video and many more videos on the left and on the right, where people just don't care. Where the Democrats and Republicans don't care. They only want one thing: make a pretty picture, sell it, get votes, and run away with all the money. Thank you guys for tuning in this week, this lovely Friday. I'm so happy that you guys were able to tune in on this episode. Catch me next week, next Friday. I'll be back on live on Facebook. And of course, the podcast and videos will be up on YouTube and wherever else you can find them. If you guys want to find me, you can find me at ShawDog21 on Twitter. Hit me up. I'll be glad to reach out with you, have a conversation with you. But you guys enjoy your weekend. Have a great morning and a great work day or a great off day, whichever it may be. And I will see you guys next week.